true love is so hard to find. Oh, true love is so hard to find.
The mood inside the Anvik City building is festive. Two people are playing guitar by the door. Crews of snow machiners who have been following the race at a leisurely pace are stretched out at folding tables, trading stories over black cups of coffee. And a few teenagers pop in and out to scan the room, looking for visitors who might be willing to pay $5 or $10 for a snow machine ride to avoid hoofing it up the town's big, steep hill. Just outside, the mood could not be more different.
Yep, I heard.
There's only one bale of straw for you at Grayling if you
want. That sucks.
Jessie Royer is polite but direct as she hears about checkpoint changes resulting from the Eagle Island situation. The austere stop is midway through a long run between the communities of Grayling and Caltag. And since the Iditarod pilots couldn't bring in food or supplies, on Friday morning, officials made the decision to downgrade it from a checkpoint to just a hospitality spot, a little more than a shelter cabin with some supplies for heating up water. That means Royer and other mushers have to load up on supplies like food and straw at Grayling, then haul whatever they need for 130 miles. Conveying those complicated logistical adjustments to tired, rushing mushers fell on volunteer checker N.J. Gates.
You can take what you want from here.
Yeah, you know, it just kind of
sucks
to really get one bale there.
There is heat at Eagle Island, but no straw.
For the top 20 or so mushers, the race is still very much up in the air, with some of the sport's best all clustered tightly together, separated by mere minutes. Teams arriving into Anvik are suddenly facing not just the usual battery of questions from vets and checkers, but also a barrage of information about reshuffled logistics with their supply bags. As Richie Deal pulls up just minutes after one musher and a few before the next, he's trying to process new information and incorporate it into plans 3, 4, and 5 steps down the line.
They did not get our
Richie
bags.
Richie Deal, through. You've got two in Grayling.
Are those the ones from Eagle Island?
Yes.
Okay, they're there?
Yes.
Okay, so I should have four total then.
Well, you've got two confirmed at Grayling.
Well, those are my Grayling bags though.
No.
Deal and the others are making those kinds of calculations on the fly, sleep deprived and facing a night of descending temperatures and worsening headwinds. Earlier in the day, the Eagle Island change seemed to make everyone reassess where they'd stop for their 8-hour rest that has to be taken at one of the checkpoints along the Yukon River. Many mushers opted to do it at the first possible stop, in Shagaluk. On arriving in Anvik, Wade Mars tells the small crowd that wasn't his original plan.
Sorry we missed you guys this year. I was hoping to come here.
Yeah, next time.
The weather,
you never know, hey?
Did not permit.
Good luck.
Thank you guys very much.
All right.
This isn't the first time in the race's history that Eagle Island has had to essentially close down because of weather. And race judge Kevin Psyche says coping with the unexpected is a fundamental element to the competition.
You know, one of the whole factors about this Iditarod experience is the flexibility that people need to have to adapt to changing weather, trail conditions, whatever the case might be, you know.
One person the change did not quite so negatively impact is Nick Petit. He reached Anvik early Friday morning and declared his 8-hour rest, way before a decision about Eagle Island was ever made. Still, like everyone else, it means he'll have to haul more supplies in his sled, getting from Grayling to Caltag.
Well, it changes everybody's plan, doesn't it? Even if you don't have a plan, it changes things. No big deal, but I gotta go, guys.
And with that, Petit rouses his dogs and sets off for the long run ahead. On the Iditarod Trail in Anvik, I'm Zachariah Hughes.